Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Steve Stone, White Sox TV analyst.
And the pitcher, a 12-game winner already this year, Steve Stone.
Former American League Cy Young Award winner. Over four decades of excellence in the booth. No one breaks down baseball like Stoney.
I mean, I had heard tell that there was a time in baseball where you actually got signals from the catcher and they threw the ball without a pitch count.
Really?
Yeah.
Steve Stone with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Steve Stone joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Steve, good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good, Mully. And David, how are you today on this lovely, lovely afternoon?
Doing well.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea that we got a game today, Steve. I like the idea of an early start. And I also like the idea that that Scooble won't be pitching for the Detroit team, and I think that it's an opportunity for perhaps a chance to get a split. Nothing wrong with that when you're playing a team as good as Detroit.
Well, you know, what's amazing to me is somehow Detroit thought, and I'm not sure if that's exactly the case, Detroit actually thought that the Cubs might be a touch better than the Sox. So they decided to move Scooble back to what should be a really entertaining series in Detroit. Detroit's a really solid team, and the interesting thing about the Tigers is that everybody equates speed with how many stolen bases you're going to have, and Detroit has 21 of them. They've got 21 stolen bases for this entire season to this point. However, there's a couple of factors. Number one, they have really good speed on defense. Getting Parker Meadows back in center field was a big addition to that team because he's a burner. He can go get them. But what they do have is one of the best base-running teams in all of baseball, and that's one of the lost arts, is how to get a jump at first base, how to take a secondary lead without getting picked off, how to cut the bases, how to anticipate, how to go from first to third or first to home on a double. And make sure you're always looking for that extra base, taking the aggressive turns. And that's something I think the Tigers worked on, and I think it's really serving them well because, again, with a team that doesn't steal a lot of bases, that sits and depends on hitting the ball out of the ballpark and bunching hits, they're a handful to deal with. You know, you're looking at a team that's 41-22. They were the first team to win 40. And I think that series in Detroit is going to be very entertaining because – we all know, we saw up close and personal in Wrigley Field that the Cubs are a good team. They're a good, solid team. And so that should be an entertaining series.
You know, Steve, you bring up the Cubs. I wanted to tap into your expertise for a question that pertains to them. And also the Sox, and seems like more teams than ever. this concept of the opener. The Cubs are going to an opener tonight, and then we think that Colin Ray is going to be the bulk guy. And sometimes they do it because matchups are more agreeable for a guy. You want to avoid the top three hitters. We have heard that explanation. Also, I think in the case of Ben Brown last time out for the Cubs, it was maybe a mental approach. He's much more at ease, and he manages anxiety better when he comes into the game in the second inning. How do you think this is all coming together, and why is it happening now? And I think then if you could also share with us, if this would have happened during your era, how might it have changed your career?
Well, I'm not sure if it would have changed mine very much, but I think it was interesting. You know, I played against a lot of the really, really big stars of the game, and I remember going head-to-head with Bob Gibson. He threw one behind my head after I hit Joe Torre. That wasn't particularly pleasant. But I can just imagine that whoever managed him at any given time went out and said, hey, Bob, you know, we're not going to start you in the first inning because we don't want the tension to build up. You might get a little nervous. So, you know, we're going to put you in the second. And then after you pick yourself off the floor, you decided to start Bob Gibson. Now, that was Bob Gibson, a different animal, one of the all-time greats. Look, anything you can do to make your team better, I'm all in favor of, because the object of this whole endeavor is to win games. If you believe that your pitcher is better, not facing some pretty good hitters for the third time in the fifth inning, and I think that's more than anything else the biggest factor with using an opener, is that you let the opener, and let's assume that that opener is going to get three guys out in the first inning, or maybe four guys out if you walk somebody in the first inning. Then the bulk guy, or the guy who was supposed to start but didn't, is not going to face the top of the lineup the third time through in the fifth inning. It's going to move him back a little bit. And so ostensibly he's going to give you a better outing. Now, it was originally invented, as we know, by Tampa Bay. They were the first team that exclusively used an opener. And they did it because their bullpen was particularly good, and then Yarbrough would come in and win a game. So, again, whatever works, but the problem last night with the opener with Jared Schuster was that he gave up four in the first. They wanted him to go through the entire lineup one time before they went to the pen. The problem is he went through the entire lineup in the first inning. That kind of defeats the purpose of the opener. So, you know, look, if it works, it's good. If it doesn't work, then you try something else. This won't be the last iteration of what baseball people try to win. But again, if it works, it's good. If not, then they'll go to something else.
You know, I'm curious, Steve. There's so many things to go over, but just generally speaking, Tim Elko being brought up, it is my understanding that with Lenin Sosa out and on the IL, it is perhaps a limited time period for Tim Elko. I wonder if that was one of the reasons that he was chosen over Andrew Vaughn. We know that Vaughny had struggled and has struggled. I just wonder if it was more of a consideration about if you're bringing a guy like Vaughn back, you bring him back for the rest of the season, or is it nothing to do with that? Do you think that maybe we don't see Vaughn back very quickly?
Well, I'm not sure about when he's going to come back, but I think you're exactly right, Mully. I think when you decide you want to go down there and bring up Andrew Vaughn, you're not going to bring him up, then activate Sosa, and then send Andrew down again. The object is for him to get his stroke together, to be the hitter he was over the second half of last year and a good portion of his career. And the last thing you want to do is have him play the ping pong ball game. You're up, you're down, you're up, you're down. That doesn't work very well, and I think they feel much more comfortable doing that with Tim Elko. It also gives Tim Elko a chance once again to show if he can do anything up here, show that he can lay off some of those pitches well out of the zone and really take advantage of the immense power that he has. So I think it was more comfortable knowing that when you do activate Sosa, because Sosa's been a pretty strong hitter.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, he's a line drive hitter who hits the ball hard. The next step for him, if he can do it, and we don't know about that, is get a little more elevation and those hard-hit balls, and I'm talking about, you know, anything over 100 miles an hour, he can hit the ball 106, 107 with regularity. You need him to get more lift, because then those line drives turn into home runs, and we'll see if he can develop into that. The one thing that they do have to teach him is more baseball awareness, because right now he makes an extraordinary amount of mental mistakes. The talent is there. You can see it. Then you get to the point where you start to teach him how to play the game consistently. If you're a first baseman, well, you got to stay at first base, because if the ball comes to you, you have to tag the bag. That's like elementary baseball 101. But they're also asking him to do things that are very difficult. You know, play third base on occasion. Play second base when you can. We'll shift you to first. He's a young player. You don't automatically have the ability to do that. You don't want it to take away from his hitting, but I think there's some potential there, and I think they're going to activate him as soon as he's ready to go, which means you're going to have to clear another roster spot, and I think they felt more comfortable clearing it with Elko going down than Vaughn.
Steve, why didn't the White Sox just bench Luis Robert Jr. for a couple games to work on his hitting approach and stroke and whatever he's working on, rather than announce that he's taking a couple days off to do just that? And how much confidence do you have that it will work?
You know, he's still young enough, David, and he's talented enough to think that one day the light's going to turn on. And, you know, there's a big problem, and the big problem is that the next 2 years, there's $20 million options. Yeah. Now, the one thing with Luis Robert is, and you have to give him credit for this, is that despite these monumental struggles with the bat, he's still playing a world-class center field and still one of the premier base stealers in the game. So every time he gets on, he does steal a base. When he does walk, that helps. He's increased his walks. He's cut down his chase. But there's a confidence that he had, and I call it the arrogance of performance. A couple of years ago, when he was hitting the 38 home runs and driving in almost 100 runs, every time he came to bat, he knew that he was going to get a hit. As you continue to struggle, all of a sudden you say to yourself, well, maybe it's my hands, maybe it's my stride, maybe I'm opening up too quickly, maybe I'm not really going after outside pitches, maybe I'm expanding my zone. You start to question your own abilities. And when you're doing well, you have this arrogance of performance that you look out at the pitcher and you know that you're better than him. You know that this at bat, you're going to hit the ball hard. You can't really determine what's going to happen after you hit it hard, but your job is to make solid contact. Somewhere along the line, Luis just stopped doing that. Consequently, he's fallen into a bigger hole. And they don't want to, when you say set him down, they don't want to set him down for a great length of time. They want to have a couple of days, let him take his swings, let him work in the cage, let Marcus Thames work with him, let him look at video, let him look at hand position. How were my legs when I was hitting? How was my stance when I was hitting? Was I standing up? Was I bending down a little bit? Were my hands high? Were they low? You're looking at the times, and the best way to do it, guys, is go back to a few years ago when he was one of the dominant hitters in baseball. Take a look exactly what he was doing. If the hands are close to what they were then, if the stride is the same, if everything looks exactly the same, then what you have to do is realize that this is as much a mental exercise as it is a physical. You start having people talk to him, you have him start to look in the mirror and say, you know what, I can really do this. And then eventually, if it's going to come back, it will. But there is a timetable on this, and the timetable is, these are pretty big options. $20 million is pretty big option for a guy hitting 180. And so the decision doesn't have to be made now. And one of the things that's taken out of the equation is the Sox thought if they could move him, they could certainly get a good return. The reality is, with a guy hitting 180, staring down the barrel of a $20 million option, there's actually two of those. What are you going to get in return? You don't want to give him away, because one of the things that you realize is if someone else can turn the light on and this guy becomes the dominant player he was, not going to look too good for the organization. So they want to exhaust every possibility before they do make a move one way or the other.
Do you anticipate he'll be back today? I mean, he's been down a couple days. I just don't know how much work you can get done. And I understand, Steve, he's got 5 years in, so he has more say on what you do with him than other
right.
players would.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, I would assume that he's going to be in there today, because the initial plan And plans are subject to change, as we know. But the initial plan was to sit him down for a couple of days. Let him, number one, relax a bit. And number two, let him go over anything they might not have done before. And that includes a whole lot of video, a whole lot of cage work, a whole lot of guys speaking to him. And, you know, sometimes the message might be exactly the same, but the messenger is different. Sometimes the messenger is the same, but the message is different. And there is a light to every one of these players. He hasn't been hurt enough where you would say, well, that's the reason why he's not performing, because, you know, he hurt his leg so badly, he can't get leg drive. And without leg drive, you're not going to be able to get that high velocity exit velocity that we all look for. But that hasn't been the case. At this point, he has been healthy, which is a good thing, because that was one of the question marks. But he's been able to play every time they ask him out there. Right now, this is somewhat of a mystery, and the Sox are certainly hoping they can solve it before they have to make what will be a very difficult decision on him.
Steve, I know this might be hard to answer and a little early to ask, but having seen both teams now, who's better, the Tigers or the Cubs?
I think I think you're exactly right, David, when you say it's too early to tell, because, you know, as we get closer to the trade deadline, you got to believe that the Cubs are going to get a pitcher. I'm not sure exactly what they're going to give up. I guess it depends on just where that pitcher is slated. If you're talking about getting a one and a two, you're going to have to give up a bunch. If you're talking about getting a five, then it's a different talent going back. So when the Cubs take a look at that rotation, and Imanaga is going to come back. However, anytime you have some leg injuries for a pitcher, that's a real difficulty, because you don't want to rush a guy back, especially when you truly believe that you're going to make the playoffs, and the Cubs are going to make the playoffs. They're sitting 4.5 games ahead of the Cardinals right now. The Cardinals are a good team. They're 4 back in the loss column. They're not a great team by any stretch of the imagination. It's hard for me to even conceive that the Cubs are not going to, number one, win the division, number two, certainly get into the playoffs. But I think they realize they've got to add that one guy. The Tigers are going to also add. And with the amount of pitchers they have on the injured list right now, their determination is who's going to come back and what are they going to come back with. Is Job going to come back and be the guy that they thought he was going to be? And was until he got injured. There's been a few of those injuries. But the Tigers have the one thing that the Cubs don't have at this point. They get a guy at the top of that rotation that nobody hits, that won the Cy Young Award last year, and I'm talking about Tarek Skubal. And this year he's actually better. I mean, you're looking at an 8.5-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio. You're looking at a guy that ended a ball game the other day throwing 103 miles an hour.
Right.
It's really incredible that you can have that kind of control and that kind of velocity, and then factor in the other stuff, and you realize that in a short series, when he goes game one and possibly two games in the series, you're going to be hard-pressed to deal with them. I can't tell you right now who's a better team between the two of those, but I will tell you that somewhere along the line, Javi Baez has rejuvenated his career, and it was after a move to center field. He's going to like nothing more than to play against the Cubs. Right now, I think there are some holes in that Tiger lineup, but getting Parker Meadows back, a guy that can really go get him in the outfield, that team looks like they're pretty solid. They're not an overwhelming team, and we have to see. This becomes, for those two teams especially, this becomes a general manager's race to win or lose. Depends on the moves that they will make as they move forward. Depends on who comes back, how healthy they're going to be. And right now, you know, they're two pretty good teams. But the Cubs have some other problems. That other problem usually is situated in the West in the National League. You got the Dodgers, the Padres, the Giants, and to a certain extent in the short series, the Diamondbacks. Those are four tough teams. And possibly the Cubs will have to get by two of them. The Tigers don't have that situation in the American League. They have the Yankees. They're going to look down the barrel of a Yankee team that if they get pitching back, along with Judge, if he stays the way he stays, I mean, that's going to be a tough team to deal with also. So right now, I think the road is tougher for the Cubs to get to the promised land than it is for the Tigers. But head-to-head, I think it'll be an entertaining series this weekend. And I think for all the people who get a chance to see that, and look at it and evaluate both of those teams. It doesn't mean anything the beginning of June about which is a better team. It's just going to be an entertaining series, and they got to get by Scooble in the first game.
It's a great answer, Steve. We've got about a minute left here. I'm just curious. White Sox senior advisor to pitching Brian Bannister was on the station yesterday, and he talked to Matt Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes, and he was asked a question about Grant Taylor, and he said of Grant Taylor, he's electric. I've seen him up close a couple times. It's one of the best arms I've ever seen. I don't say that lightly because I've been around a lot of good arms. One of the best he's ever seen?
Wow.
Why aren't we seeing him with the White Sox? I just wonder what to make of that comment.
Well, I think one of the reasons you're not seeing him is that they elected to start him when he started this season, and I watched him throw a bit in spring training.
Right.
Boy, it is an electric arm. There's no doubt about that. My feeling is you have to fill a void in an organization when you're going to come to the major leagues. And that void, for me, is back end of the bullpen. Now, I understand that Chris Getz going into this year felt that getting that lockdown closer wasn't essential because it was going to cost you a bundle if you went outside the organization, and this team was not going to win the division this year, quite obviously. So they felt that they could go without a closer for a while. I believe that the White Sox team is playing more close games than anybody thought they were going to play at this point. Nobody realized how good they were going to be. And they did realize after last year when the closer was, you know, it's like a deadly 25-mile cannon on a battleship. When your opponent is 50 miles from you, doesn't really help you very much. And so that's what would happen. But now they're getting to the point where they're getting competitive. They're getting in close games. Eventually, they're going to need a closer. I think that closer is Grant Taylor. Again, that's what I think. Brian Bannister is an exceptional pitching guy. And one thing to bear in mind, guys, and this is kudos for Chris Getz, who a lot of people question his ability or his history to be in the job he's in. One of the ways you measure an executive is by how many quality people he can bring to your organization. And quite frankly, this was not the most desirable organization to come to after the season they had last year. And yet, Chris Getz, when he took the reins, was able to bring in Brian Bannister. He was able to bring in Josh Barfield. He was able to bring in Gene Watkins. He was able to revamp a lot of the scouting situations. He was able to bring to the organization some quality guys who are remaking this organization pretty much on the fly. And I know everybody wants better results right now, but the quality guys you choose to surround yourself with and convince to come to your organization and help remake in your vision what this team is going to look like, I think Chris Getz has done a great job restocking the organization with quality baseball guys who are going to really make an impact, and Brian Bannister is certainly one of those guys.
Great stuff. Thanks a ton, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay, guys, have a good rest of the show, and I'll talk to you down the road.
That is Steve Stone. You're listening to Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The interesting thing about Grant is when you look at how he pitches and his characteristics, he's very similar to a Tyler Glasnow. He's very similar to a Clase, to a Kenley Jansen, to I don't compare people to Mariano, but he has that kind of flexibility. Mariano is in his own category, but you know, when you look at the guys in this category, how they're most effective, the types of injuries they tend to have, how they're used the best. You know, Grant releases the ball about 7.5 feet in front of the rubber, so he's out there releasing it where Kenley, Glasnow, all those guys release it. And you've seen the guys that have pitched in a starting role with those types of features.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Brian Bannister. He was on yesterday with Matt Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes, and did it was a great interview. That's unbelievable.
Well, wait a second. They have a pitcher that is good enough to be compared to the guys he just compared him to?
Yes.
And he's a double A?
And they don't have a closer.
Right now? And you
they
have a
currently don't have
major league team that doesn't win
a
lot.
They can't win close games.
But they can't win close games because they don't have a closer?
Yeah.
So did Brian Bannister make it more – to whatever pressure a team at the bottom of the AL Central will feel, did – the pressure just intensify on the Sox bringing up Grant Taylor?
Well, shouldn't he be up yesterday?
Yes, that's what I mean.
I know.
Or if they get a lead this afternoon, would you want to close in the ninth?
If you got a world-class arm and a guy that can close as well.
If Emmanuel Clase is in your bullpen, you're using him. Wow.
Holy cow.
That was really something.
Why are you wasting bullets in AAA?
I don't know. Double A.
No, he's in AAA.
Wait, is it
He got promoted to AAA minor leagues. Wait a minute. They're all in Birmingham.
Yes, that's what I thought.
The lefties are in Birmingham. You stop.
It's a project, Mully. It's a project in Birmingham. They call it the Birmingham Project.
But if a guy can throw like that, what are you waiting on?
I don't know.
This is a guy who was a college teammate of Paul Skeen.
I remember.
And Paul Skeen told him, hey, you can play at this level. Like he's heard from the best pitcher, young pitcher in baseball. Yeah, you belong up here.
Do you think he knows Livy Dunn?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, they all went to college together.
I just wondered. Yeah.
I'm sure they're all
chums. Those crazy kids.
Aren't they all chums?
They have to be.
Yes.
I just would,
from the athletic department.
I would like, you know, this Sox season, I think we have very little to look at in a positive way when you're looking at the record. But there are isolated things, you know, the Tim Elko call up. You have guys who were, Vargas had a moment. We're watching, anytime there's an opportunity to see a positive, you want to cling to that. I think Grant Taylor coming up would make sense. I mean, listen.
You can't say the things you say about him and then say, but we're going to keep him hidden. Like, you know, you can't say he's got, like, what's the quote? He's got, like, the best arm, one of the best arms I've ever seen. Ever.
Okay. So I would love to see it, too. Frankly, all I've seen is on my computer screen.
Let's show the world.
All right, so that was interesting. Huge. Stoney was also very good today.
Oh, he's excellent.
I wondered, though, and Dustin and I were talking about during the break, I gave him an out, and he took it, because I should have just said, Steve, are the Tigers better than the Cubs? Because I think he thinks, the way he described things, that the Tigers are better than the Cubs, because they have
Scooble.
Tariq Skubal.
Because they have a pitcher that's going to start two games in a series, and he's going to win both of them.
And the Cubs don't have that guy.
And you might be able to get a third outing from him if you were playing a series, like, let's call it the World Series.
You're saying that Skubal is pitching 1-4-7.
Yeah, so exactly what I just said.
All right. I don't disagree.
Who's arguing?
He's your Chris Sale.
Is Dustin arguing?
Well, no. Unfortunately, the only argument might be is that I don't know that you would.
If the rosters remain
exactly the same, which they won't, but as of today,
you wouldn't need
a game seven.
Yeah, he'd be done already.
What do you mean?
He means they'd be done in five.
David,
six.
Who's starting game one for the Cubs?
So you think it'd be Tigers in five?
Just to make sure everybody's listening.
Yeah, I'm listening.
The team that they have today in Washington, D.C., that team, the Cubs are done in five against the Tigers.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's probably true.
Again, who's taking – okay, so do you just genuflect in game one? Okay, who's taking the ball in game two? Who would you give the ball to in game two?
If you're the Tigers or the Cubs?
The Cubs. J-Mo. The rat's rear end.
J-Mo right now. And would he give up a solo homer?
I would bet he would. I'd go to my app, and I would bet that he would give up a solo home run.
You'd go to your T-shirt.
I think if you're looking at the Cubs, it'd be Matthew Boyd and Jameson Taillon.
Matthew Boyd would be
the pitching one and two.
I would actually go Taillon in game number one for the sake of maybe he gets it done. Worst case scenario, he gets you to seven, and you save your bullpen a little bit.
It's so a good that would hypothetical be my reason argument.
Why. I mean, listen, you can't sit here and talk about a World Series matchup and say the Cubs would be done in three. I can't believe you just said that.
I don't think that the...
Well, first of all, it's a seven-game series, so even as poorly as I am at math and spelling, I know.
He's exaggerating for the sake of the point.
I was making a point.
But the thing that Steve Stone also said, I think, is underscores and is related to what we're talking about. This is going to be a general manager's pennant race, and whoever is able, or an executive's pennant race. And if Jed Hoyer is as good as we think that he is, then he will be able to secure that ace caliber, top of the rotation starter by the deadline.
If Atlanta falls apart and you bring Chris Sale in, I think he's as good as Skubal.
You love that idea. You mentioned that twice now.
That's I'm just saying, if a general manager is going to win it, then that's the kind of move you got to make.
I'd love that. I would love that.
Don't you
that.
Have to make a move like that? Don't you have to have a pitcher that you feel like can...
The Arizona rumor probably seems more realistic or attainable because Merrill Kelly,
two guys running
Zach Gallen are both final contracts.
Well, is the pitcher in Miami, is he enough?
Like Sandy Alcantara?
Is that I like the other names. I like the three names you just mentioned more as a Cub fan. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you added Alcantara to the, assuming Shota comes back.
Shota's coming back.
Okay, assuming Shota comes back.
Sandy Alcantara's not been very good this year. That's the problem.
It's been okay. Right. I'm saying I like the other three names better.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know that you would resist that because of you don't know the circumstances in which he's pitching. But I do think that if you added Sandy Alcantara, you would feel better about this rotation in a playoff scenario.
Sure, you'd feel better because right away, you'd put Colin Ray in the bullpen immediately, right?
Yeah.
And probably Ben Braun in the bullpen immediately.
I'm really interested in this game tomorrow. After that conversation,
yes.
How many Cubs strikeouts are we anticipating Scooble to throw tomorrow?
Eight.
You're setting the number at eight.
Yes. I think the Scooble could strike out eight Cubs. And I don't like to say that, but I think that Steve's right. When he goes to the mound, you have this expectation that he's just going to dominate.
I'm guessing the number is probably going to be right around there, 8.5 or 9. It might be even 9. If it's 9, I'd bet under just because.
Well, I would bet under at 8 because that's a lot of strikes.
Let's revisit this right there. This Cubs scenario for a second because I do want to get to the point. In a hypothetical playoff situation,
yes.
If you get the it's almost like we're accepting that Jed's got to get a guy that's good enough to start game one, right?
That's what he's saying.
And then if your game two starter is Jameson Taillon and Matthew Boyd is game three, is your fourth starter that you trust in a playoff scenario? Could that be by October, Cade Horton?
But isn't Shota getting back in the mix though? What about Shota?
No, Shota's
number one.
Number one is somebody who's not in a Cubs uniform right now. So then Shota's two.
Yeah.
Then Taillon, Boyd, three. Yeah.
I guess I was thinking Shota might. Yeah, okay. He comes back. He's healthy. I wonder how Cade Horton fits into this entire conversation. I know the innings are a concern, but if you get to October, it can't be.
Well, but I'm saying is when you get to October, are you trying to get a Grant Taylor arm out of Cade Horton?
Cade Horton? Is he a high leverage reliever?
I'm asking.
I don't know.
Or are you making a move?
I would lean in that scenario right today. I mean, there's lots of baseball to be played, but today I would start Taillon before I would start Cade Horton for sure.
I think that
just because he's been there.
I think you got
a little much.
Yeah, I think it's too early for me. I'm gonna go full Stoney on you. It's too early. It's too early to say that because I think Cade Horton is ascending quite nicely.
Dude, it's 9:42. We don't get much more time to say it.
I know.
I'm just kidding.
I mean the calendar.
I make it a joke.
It's a good conversation. It's fun to have. Because
we got it. Maybe that's a pick six question tomorrow. How is he doing tomorrow, Scooble, and how much does that influence, if it does at all, what starting pitcher you're chasing for?
Well, it could, because if the Cubs lose to Andy Abbott and Mackenzie Gore and Tarik Skubal in the course of a week and get dominated by all three guys, go get yourself an ace. Go get yourself an ace. All right, right now be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line, 312-540-0670, and you will win a pair of tickets to see Hollywood legend Billy Bob Thornton and the Boxmasters for one unforgettable night of rootsy rock and real swagger at Joe's Live Tuesday, September 16th. Tickets on sale now. Grab yours at joesliverosemont.com before they're gone. That's Billy Bob Thornton and the Boxmasters, September 16th at Joe's Live.
We will talk to Marshall Harris and Layla Rahimi next. It's Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.